Hi, Richard. This is Gary Keller.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, Richard. Let's start, if you would. Take me back and tell me a little about yourself. How long have you been in the real estate business?
Yeah, I've been in business since 1973, and I started in Denver, Colorado with a company called Van Skock & Company. Then I was there for a couple of years, and then I went back into direct sales. Then I went back into real estate and was with RE/MAX for 31 years and joined Keller Williams. I was with RE/MAX for 31 years. Then I went into commercial real estate for 2 years, and then now I'm back at Keller Williams beginning of the year.
What I'm most curious about is your farming business. So let's talk for just a second. You're now in Carmel Valley?
Correct. I'm in Carmel Valley.
And you've been there how long?
Well, I've been here 24 years in Carmel Valley.
Okay. So you've been there that long. You believe in farming.
Absolutely.
And tell me why.
Well, I looked around at all those people that were successful. There was a gal named Patty, and I forget her, Patty McKelvey or somebody like that, that was in Denver, Colorado when I left. And she had a specific farm area, and I thought it was a great idea. And when I came out here, and then didn't work out in commercial real estate, and I got real ill, and I got back into residential. I picked out an area, and I said, this is going to be my acres of diamonds.
Ah, okay. So tell me how you approach it.
Okay. I knock on doors in my farm right now 4 hours a day.
Okay.
I have a specific area with people that I know. I know them because I'm knocking their doors. I like to say I have 8,000 of my closest friends in Carmel Valley. To kind of go back, the real aha I had was when I came to Keller Williams and when I listened to you in the November 15th meeting of last year. And for years, when I was knocking on doors, I was using more or less the Tommy Hopkins approach of giving them information but never asking for business. So it was, you know, here's one that sold. Hey, what do you think about it? You know, nice to talk with Mary C. again. And it was, and I was keeping track, of contacts as the, I never ask anybody for a lead ever.
Wow.
And it was always just, you know, it was kind of the sauce. I was always afraid that if I ask them for a lead, you know, they'd never want to talk to me again. I had done about $1 million in GCI between middle of 09 to middle of 2010, and then from the middle of 2010, my business started going down again, and I had been keeping really good track of all my records. I'm going, what am I doing wrong? Because I was always looking for the Holy Grail. I was always looking for the connection between between cause and effect. And so I always thought it was contacts, but contacts were not necessarily measurable. Well, I went and I listened to you at the masterminds, and you said something you keep saying to everybody. I mean, I was doing 4 hours a day, but I wasn't going after leads. And you kept saying, if you don't have leads and leverage, you have no leverage problem if you don't have a leads problem. It's leads and leverage, I guess, together. But at any rate, my problem was I didn't have enough leads. I didn't have any leads. So from that point forward, so November 15th to today, I set up a little script, and I've got 312 leads, and I'm right on track. I mean,
Was if you have too many leads, you have a leverage problem.
Yes, yes.
If you don't have enough leads, you have a lead generation problem. It's always one of the other. You either have too many leads or you don't have enough leads. But
absolutely.
If you have too many leads, then you're in the leverage business. If you don't have enough leads, you're in the lead generation business.
Well, I started getting in the lead generation business. And it's been exciting because my goal is two leads a day.
Okay.
And I actually keep track of where I'm supposed to be relative to where I am. And I do that on a daily basis. And I'm very big at time blocking and very big at scheduling, and it works really well.
So let's go back then and talk about this. So the first thing you do, let's talk about your time blocking so I can get a framework here. Tell me what your time blocking for you looks like.
Okay. I'm up at 5:30, get ready, then at 6 o'clock I exercise until 7. And this is all important to me, all of it together. And then from 7 to 7:30, I make sure that I've got my shake out of the way, my right breakfast, everything else. I get ready, and then I have to be in my car at 8:15. Then between 8:15 and 9:30, I read scriptures for at least 20 minutes. I study scripts and dialogues for at least 20 minutes. And I have what I call my Gary time, which is basically I listen or read something that you've done. And so I get that all out of the way. Then I have to knock on my first door by 9:45. And then from 9:45 to 11:45, I knock on doors from 11:45 to 12:30. It is lead follow-up. Then I go back out at 4 o'clock, and I catch the people I didn't get before. And I go between 4 and 6, and then 6 to 6:30 is my last lead follow-up. And I do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then and Saturday, and then 2 hours on Thursday.
So essentially 4.5 days a week.
Yeah, well, exactly. Essentially 4.5 days a week, yes.
So you're leaving the house at around 8:15 in the morning, and you're getting home somewhere around 7 o'clock at night.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Correct.
And does it creep into the evening hours, or do you block that off and say, no, I'm done, I'll talk?
I'm done. The evening hours when I have my appointments. Either the evening hours or from or around, you know, 1 o'clock. That's my listing appointment time.
So you'll either have appointments around 1 o'clock to 4, or from 6:30 until 9 or 10.
Exactly. Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay. So let's go back to the door knocking. So
yeah.
is it strictly door knocking, or are we doing follow-up notes? Or are we doing phone calls? Is there anything that's around the door knocking?
Yes. Well, there's a publication that's delivered to everybody's house, thrown in the driveway, that I'm on the back page of that 2 times a month. I do postcards to my Prime database 12 times a year,
So the goal there is we're going to door knock, but the goal is to hit everybody 12 times a year.
Yeah, the goal is to hit them, well, 12 to 14 times a year, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then anybody that's not home, there's 90 subdivisions in the area that work. So say I'm working Seabridge, and I go around to people I find home. I give them a brochure. It's always just, I mean, 99% of what I do is just solds, because that's a value response in this marketplace, or a value proposition
right.
in this marketplace.
Right. Right.
And then once I give them that information, if they're not there, then I mark it on my sheet. One of my assistants sends out a postcard to them. Anyone that gives me a lead, I've got cards with me in my car, so I write a thank you note, you know, for the lead and send it off right then.
So you're using your script is around just souls. If they're not home, what do you do?
Nothing. I go back and catch them again, and then I send them a postcard later on.
Okay, so you're making a list. You're carrying around your iPad, and if they're not home, you mark that they weren't home.
Correct. It's not an iPad, but I actually have a database, and it's printed out, and my assistant sends it to me with the area. So I know as I walk down the street, I know who goes next, who's the next person in line. So
you're carrying the printed database with you.
Exactly. So that I can write on the database. Absolutely. So I can write on that, and then I fax that back to my assistant, one of my assistants at night, and then I with the notes that I take when I was there last, just short, quick things so I know what I'm talking about. And then I also, you know, in the conversations, if I'm talking to you and I've never met you before, by the way, may I call you by your first name? Yes, Gary. Okay, great. And then I go from there. And then next time when I see you, I say, hey, Gary, just sold another one. Here's the information on it. I give you the information. I've got a nice brochure on the one I just sold. And basically I say the good news is, you know, Gary, I had 35 people take a look at that home. So despite what the media is saying, the market, there's a lot of buyers looking right now. And then I watch body language. if they don't, if they're pulling away from the door, or you know, the kid's grabbing on their foot, or the dog's trying to kill me, or whatever it may be, then it's an awkward situation. I do the same thing. Hey, thanks, and then go to another door. But if I can see they have any interest at all in talking to me, and if they start leaning up against the door jamb, that way I know I've got a good conversation going on. But if I can see any interest at all, then I lead into, by the way, Gary, have you heard rumors of anyone else who may have any real estate wants or needs? I kind of turn around and sweep my hand across the neighborhood. And you can see in their face, and they'll look up, and they'll look, and you can see them looking. And it's amazing how many times they'll say, yeah, John over here was thinking about it. So if John was thinking about it, well, then I follow up with that. I send them a thank you note. But a lot of times they'll say, you know, well, we were thinking about doing something. Or if I see some, if they start asking me questions, I use that as a sign to delve farther and to try to find out more.
So the next time you see, if you run into them, because you said your goal is to run into all of them 12 times a year, 14 times a year. So you see me, so you're going to run into me again next month.
Yep.
If you see me again next month, what's the dialogue?
Well, I'm not going to see you next month because I'm only going to get around to everybody once a year. In other words, I've got 8,000 people I'm going to.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you're trying to get around to people 12 times a year.
No. I send them postcards 12 times a year.
I'm sorry. Gotcha.
Yeah, no, I send them postcards. But I do have my dialogue. And so the next time I see you, I'm saying the same thing. Hey, Gary, it's Richard. Just sold another one. Yeah, really? Yeah, and then blah, blah, and have the conversation. By the way, had you thought any more about making a move? Or you know, do you know anybody else?
So are there a certain percent, or what percent is there, that you ultimately end up in some sort of a familiar type relationship with?
Well, this is an interesting thing. Since I started doing asking for deals and asking for leads, and of course, this also includes the leads are also including people calling me on my signs and people calling me from the ads, you know, everything else. About every 17 contacts, I'm getting a lead.
Really?
Yep.
17?
Yeah, 17 contacts, yeah. Yeah. Now, again, I'm in front of people. These are people that I know. And, again, that's also inclusive of other people that will call me in off signs or people that I've left stuff at the door and they've saw me before. But, yeah, yeah.
And are you think these are qualified, unqualified? They're all kinds of leads, but they are a legitimate lead.
Oh yeah, these are people that. Well, again, my definition of a lead is not an email address. My definition of a lead is somebody that's given me a phone number, that knows I'm there to sell real estate and has raised their hand. I want to buy or sell.
Wow.
And again, remember, Gary, I wasn't doing this until November 15th. That's the stupidity of what I was doing.
You weren't asking for the lead. You were passing out information.
Exactly. Exactly.
How does the passing out information dialogue go?
It was like this. So if you came to the door, hey, Gary, just sold another one. Here's the information. The good news is, the, you know, we've got as many sales. So far this year in Carmel Valley, we have as many sales, actually about 10 more sales we did last year. The median sales price is a little higher. Just wanted to say hi and see you again and on to the next door. That's all I did.
Oh, wow.
That's all I did. Kind of dumb, huh?
What's a little weird? I mean, yeah, I mean, when you put it in the context of, you could have also said, and who do you know, or when will you be selling?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, by the way, of course.
It's a great house. We've had a lot of activity. Do you know of anybody in the area that you might want to recommend looking at the house? Or do you know of anybody who might be considering selling in the near future? We've had a lot of interest.
Right. That aha was not there till I talked to you, till I listened to you.
Hmm.
Because I wanted something to, I want to figure out something quantifiable. Does that make sense? In other words, so many leads generate, you know, so either a buyer sale or a listing taken.
Now, Mindy was telling me that you have 9 rules that you follow when you're lead writing. Okay,
yeah.
Talk to me about that for a second.
Okay, well, the whole thing is, how do you keep yourself motivated to stay on track, you know, to do this day in and day out all the time? So I came up with a silly little bonus system that works really well for me. And what happens is this. There are 9 things that I have to do every day in order to give myself $35. Okay? So, number one is that I have to lead generate for at least, you know, the 4 hours that I talked about, 2 hours on Thursday. Number two is I've got to call back every lead at least once on the day they're to be called, and if I don't reach them then, I've got to reach them by at least Saturday at 5 o'clock. I've got to be in my car at 8:15 each lead generation day. I've got to start the lead generation session by at least 9:45. I've got to study the scripts for at least 20 minutes each day. I've got to study scriptures for 20 minutes each day, and I've got to listen to you or other motivational material for 20 minutes each day. I avoid all refined sugar. I follow what I call, what's called a word of wisdom diet. Basically, I don't drink, smoke. I eat fruits, grains, whole grains, that sort of thing, healthy stuff to give me the energy. I've got to do my back exercises and my exercises for at least an hour every prospecting day. And then I've got to average 2 leads per day. Average. Now, if I don't do those things, I don't get my $35. But the bigger part of it is my takeaways. For instance, if I'm not in my car by 8:15, I take away $200. If I miss my 4 hours lead generation, it costs me $500. And so I keep track of that. I keep track of it daily. It's a little game I play with myself. And then the money that I make, quote unquote, from that, I use for my photography trips and my vacations.
So you pay yourself bonuses and you put that in a separate account?
Yep. Yes, I do. Got my...
And how,
And
how, if you had the perfect day, how much could you pay yourself?
Oh, well, I could pay myself a lot because I also give myself $20 for each for the first lead, $40 for the second, $80 for the third, $160 for the fourth, all in the same day. And then if I have a perfect week, I give myself $150, a perfect month of $500. So I can make $300 a day. I mean, that's a high, would be $300. Most days it's $50 or $85. But the other day I got into my car at 8:16 and I had to give myself, you know, I'd take away $200. I was so mad.
Well, $200 for missing any one of these?
Yeah.
So you could go in the whole $1,800, but the upside is 80 or 90?
Well, the upside is I win. I do something, you know, the upside is the excitement of doing what you're supposed to do and being accountable to yourself.
So how do you, so the $200, who gets the $200?
Oh, I take that away from monies that I already have in the account.
Ah, okay, gotcha. So this is your fun account?
Yep. Yes, that's the account.
Gotcha.
And I started that by the way, at the beginning of 2009 because I wanted to address what I needed to do to be consistent in this marketplace.
Gotcha. And over the last 12 months, you've generated what? Close to 700,000 in GCI.
Correct. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, in GCI. So, but go ahead. Sorry.
What's the biggest? We're going to end this pretty soon. Let me just ask you a question real quick. What's the biggest challenge you face in trying to be a daily farmer? What is the challenge that you face, Richard, the most?
Well, I think it's always staying on your schedule, but that's why I have the bonus system, and so I really have to get a, you know, I mean it's what I do. I mean my assistant handles everything else. This is my job to get out, knock on doors, talk to people every day, find leads, follow up with leads, make sure I keep my body in good shape, make sure I do the other things that are important, which, you know, obviously, you know, you've discussed this many times that, you know, about us being a spiritual being on an earthly journey, and that's, you've really got to keep that in focus, because that's the most important thing there is, family, the spiritual journey. So challenge, I almost died years ago. I was very, very sick. I was paralyzed. I had a bunch of problems. And so I'm a true believer in every day above ground's a good one. And I'm just, you know, bad breath, better than no breath at all. You've heard that many times.
Absolutely.
And so you really, you know, you have to appreciate every moment. Understand it's a gift, and you might not have it tomorrow.
Just trying to think if there's anything I haven't asked you. Is there anything I haven't asked you that you want to share with me? Here's the one I didn't ask you, and that is about managing expenses.
Yeah.
Farming is probably the least expensive thing you could do. If it's 12 to 14 postcards and it's trying to hit 8,000 people in 1 year, tell me how you manage expenses.
Well, I do a P&L, you know, every month, but more importantly, I do a P&L at home on my personal expenses every week. And one of the reasons I started doing that was because I heard you used to do a P&L on your company every week. Is what I don't know if that was true or not, but that's what I heard.
Absolutely. Well, I actually do a P&L on my personal life that I evaluate every week.
Well, see, I started doing the same thing. It's a great aha. It's a great thing to do.
Absolutely.
Because you don't get your expenses out of whack, and you see where you are with other things, and it's just wonderful.
Absolutely.
But I, you know, sir?
I still do it.
But see, that's the greatest thing about you. You do what you say. That's why I loved coming to Keller Williams.
Okay. Well,
that's why I seriously, you know, I finally found somebody that really does what they said they do. No, I mean it. I'm sincere. That was what turned me on to make the difference. You know, in the God family business, I really believe in that. I really believe
Absolutely.
In that.
Absolutely.
And so it's exciting to listen to you, to try to pick up things from you, to understand what you do, because that's what I think will take me to another level.
You know, the challenge for me isn't in the knowing what to do. It's in the doing it. You can create a schedule. You can create the best of intentions. The challenge comes in living a life where what you find yourself saying is no to 99% of the opportunities that come your way because they fall outside of the things that you've already said matter. And when you're really clear about what matters, everything else is a distraction, and unfortunately the world is not organized to support your focus. The world is organized to distract you constantly with additional information or opportunity or entertainment or whatever. And to me, it all comes disguised as bankruptcy. It all comes disguised as an opportunity, but it's really a thinly disguised bankruptcy because it's going to bankrupt me mentally, emotionally, financially, mm-hmm. physically. It's going to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's the biggest challenge. So when you say your biggest challenge is staying on schedule, I think that's right. I think the big challenge for most people is having a schedule. The second challenge, of course, is staying on it and saying no to everything else. Because what you think at first is that you're fixing to have a boring life. Because you say, gosh, if I'm on a schedule and I'm having to stick to it, isn't that boring? You say, well, no, if you've picked an exciting life, sticking to it should be exciting.
Exactly. And again, otherwise you wake up one day and you said, you know, I could have had a V8, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I did a lot of little things, never did anything big, and the little things never added up. And that's the description of most lives.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow we think that the little things will add up, but they actually don't. They just stay little.
Mm-hmm.
They stay little. Yeah.
The power of one. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
No, thank you. It's been a pleasure meeting you and visiting with you, Richard. I hope to see you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Gary.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.